Shoo. Father God, we just come to you this morning. We come to you. We come in your presence, and we are looking to you. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for direction. We look to you for light, for the path that you've carved out already for us today. And we thank you that as the word goes forth, it will transform us, it'll direct us, it'll enlighten us, and help us in our paths, our journeys that you have for us. And we declare that we have eyes that see this morning, and we have ears that hear, and our heart is prepared to grab hold of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Last week we started a new series. It's called Fabulously Fit or Fit. Okay. We started a new series, and the scripture reference, would you all look at it? It's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's kind of our scripture for the next couple of months. Fit is really dealing with this scripture. What is fit? It's dealing with this scripture, and it says, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to Christians. He's writing to believers, and he said this: now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. In other words, make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body, you should underline that, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last week we talked about preserved. And do you remember what it means? It means to guard, to protect, just kind of to keep a watch over, all right? So he's saying to us, this is Paul saying to us by the Holy Spirit talking to him, hey, you need to guard your spirit, your soul, and your body. Hey, you need to protect it, okay? So that's what we talked about last week, and we looked at the scripture. Do you see where it says your whole spirit, soul, and body? So last week we just went over, hey, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a mind, and you live in this body, right? So you're a three-part being. And we talked last week really on number one. We talked about what our spirit's all about. And basically, you can't see your spirit. I can't see your spirit, okay? But that's the real you. The real you on the inside. Paul, if you read through the epistles, Paul uses another term besides your spirit. He'll say the hidden man of the heart. Has anybody ever read that in your Bible? The hidden man of your heart? Okay, the same thing. He's talking about your spirit. And again, you don't see the hidden man in the heart, but that's the real you. And the day you received Jesus Christ, you asked him to come into your life, be Lord of your life, be the Savior of your life. This spirit became new, a new man, new life. And actually, we talked about that you now house God on the inside. Wow, that's really cool, isn't that? Just think about that. So we said he comes to live inside of you, okay? We were talking about how we, because we, that's you and me, I get to guard and my whole spirit, soul and body. So how do we keep our spirit fit? How do we keep it strong? So that's what we talked about last week. And, you know, this is where I was even driving around on, and some big billboard was talking about the same thing everybody is doing. You know, it's the beginning of the year. We make commitments or resolutions that we're going to eat better or we're going to exercise. And, you know, this big advertisement said the same thing and, you know, join the gym. So we have on our mind in the beginning of the year how to get these bodies fit. Anybody trying to get their body fit, back in shape? Okay, right. So that's what we talked about. But you know what? Based on Paul's scripture in 1 Thessalonians, he says you need to also make sure your spirit's in shape. Make sure your spirit's fit. Make sure your spirit's strong. So I'm glad you're all doing this and this, but we need to do something with our spirit. So that's what we talked about last week. I'm doing the fast forward quick review. And we said there's two main things you have to do. Two main things, okay? One is you need to starve your spirit from certain things, okay? Just like your body, you know, I'm off of sugar and I'm really cut back the carbs. I'm trying to starve my body certain things because I have OD'd over them, all right? And, you know, when you starve yourself bad things, guess what? Good things happen, right? Same thing with your spirit. You're going to have to starve your spirit certain things. So you have to listen to the CD or go online and listen to it. And I do more details of things that you need to starve your spirit so that you can have good things in your life. Okay? Number two thing that you have to do is you have to feed your spirit. What do you feed your spirit? The Word of God. And you have to do it not just once a week. You do it daily. And then, anybody remember what this is for me? It's my soap book. S-O-A-P. So yeah, I read my Bible every day. Okay, I do. Once in a blue moon, I'm up at 3 o'clock and I'm traveling and, you know, that's it. So the next level you can do is go get yourself a book with lines or whatever. And I call it the soap book, and S, and actually I stole this from another minister and I've been doing it for a couple years now. S means a scripture. You read your Bible, you're reading your Bible. I didn't say you have to read a whole chapter, but you just start at a chapter and you read it and you find a scripture that just jumps out at you. It just is like talking to you. And I'll write it down. That's the S. S is for scripture. I write it down. O, and remember what O is? Observation. Okay, so what does that scripture, it's, you know, talking to me about? All right, so it's, I read a scripture, it's talking to me, and I'm going to write down how it talks to me, And then A is application. A is application. You got to do something. What am I going to do with this scripture that's talking to me, that it's talking to me? What am I going to do with it? Okay, that's called being a doer of the word. And the last one is P. P means prayer. So I suggest you get a notebook and you soap. Soap it up, baby. All right. All right. Today, so we are a three-part being, right? We have a soul, mind, will, emotion, soul, and we live in a body, okay? Today we're going to talk about the soul. And as I was preparing for this, I'm like, God, I can't squeeze this all in 1 week. So we're going to do two parts on the soul. Today is part one on the soul. We're going to talk about this soul here, all right? And now, let me say this before you get started. Depending on what church background you come from, okay? If you've been in church, you've come from different backgrounds and stuff. You may have heard somebody say this, oh, she needs to get her soul saved. Okay, you know what they really are saying? They need to receive Jesus Christ into their life. Their spirit is what gets saved, okay? So we're not going to be talking about get your soul saved. That's not what we're going to talk about this next 2 weeks, okay? So everybody, you are a, and you have a, it's up here, okay? Your mind, your will, your emotions. And I'm going to use the word mind a lot today, okay? So your spirit is your the real you, and then you have this soul, and it's your mind, all righty? Everybody's got one. All right. Now, some of you are driven by your mind. Some of you guys, you let your mind tell you everything to do. You are led by your brain all the time, okay? And we're going to talk about that's not good always, okay? So I'm going to teach today on how to control this, because this can get out of control. This can get out of control. So we're going to talk about it. So first scripture is James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. All right. I'm going to start laying a foundation about our soul. James 1, 21. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. That's a nice opening statement. And humbly accept the word of God. The word God has planted in your heart. For it has the power to save your soul. For it has the power to save your soul. King James says the word of God engrafted inside of you, okay, is able to save your soul. So here's what he's saying. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you ask him to come into your life, your spirit got saved. Your spirit got saved, and you're going to go to heaven. All right? And if you were to receive Jesus today and die tonight, you will go to heaven. Your spirit got saved. It became alive, okay? It's transformed, all right? But your mind didn't get saved. Your mind didn't get saved. Actually, your mind, your soul is being saved. You are being saved. Does that make sense? Your being is being saved. Your mind is being saved, okay? It's not perfect. How many of you know that? brain is not perfect. Your mind is not perfect. Okay. So if somebody says, you know, I got saved today and I don't have to do anything with my body or my mind and, you know, because I am so perfect. Wrong. You're full of baloney and you're going to be a pain in the neck too. Okay. Big baby. Cause you have to do something with this mind. Alrighty. So, how many of you know some old time ministers that you respected? You know, whether it was Oral Roberts and a gentleman that I really respected was Brother Hagin, because I went to the school and actually watched his life. And if you were to hang out with him, and I actually did not, Jack actually hung out with Brother Hagin on several occasions, and he actually would go to the lunchroom and throw spitballs at people. Yeah. The man of God. All right? You know what? And if you were to talk to any of these great old timers that you respect, that have had integrity in their life, they would tell you, I get thoughts in my brain that I have to deal with, just like you do. And you're like, what? These great men of God that have preached all over and this and that. Yep. Okay. They may be anointed, called and gifted by God to preach the gospel, but they ain't anointed to live it. They have to do something. They have to do something just like you and I do. All right? Because they aren't perfect. They have to apply it. So looking over at James chapter 1 again, James chapter 1, 21, I'm reading that and I go, oh, okay, so I need to receive the word of God. I need to take the word of God. I need to, it says humbly, meekly, I take the word of God. I'm going to read the word of God and I have to let it inside of me. I have to let it inside of me because it is able to save my soul / mine. Okay, right? Everybody on the page with me? Okay, now, the word save there is sozo. Anybody hear the word sozo before? Oh, you studies of Greek. Okay. Sozo. Sozo. I'm just going to, it's saved, healed, delivered. It also means protected and restored. Okay. So if you take the word of God, just looking at this, come on, put these words together. If you take the word of God, you're reading your Bible, you're letting it, you're not doing one of these, in one ear and out the other. You actually spend time, chew, meditate on it. You let that word of God get inside of you. This scripture says, I can be protected, my mind can be protected. Now, we always think of our body, but my mind will be protected and my mind can be restored. Anybody like that word, restored? Restored. Okay. So, I remember, I think it's this past year, I read an article in Andrew Womack's magazine. And then I remember a couple years ago reading articles that was either in the Word of Faith, Kenneth Copeland's magazine or, whatever, one of those. Okay. And they gave testimonies of people, especially this, it was Andrew Womack's ministry, of a family that had two autistic children. Anybody want to sign up for that deck of cards? No. Okay. They had two children they loved and they got born again, spirit filled and started reading the word, applying the word of God and those boys over their children. Okay. And those children got delivered. They are not autistic anymore. I remember reading in, I think this is the Kenneth Copeland magazine. This is probably in the last 5 years. An adult daughter was having to take care of her mother, must have been like 70 or 80 years old, and she was either had dementia or, what's the other one? Alzheimer's, thank you, and I think that's what it was. And so you can just say, well, this is a deck of cards, my mom has just got all these symptoms. No, they did the scripture. Okay? They took the word of God. They applied the word of God. They applied the word of God. They applied the word of God. They actually believed the word of God, and they started speaking the word of God over this mother, and she was set free. That's awesome. Yay. I remember when we went to Rhema, Jack had this guy in his class, and I won't mention his name, but he used to be a druggie, and he did heroin, all sorts of stuff, and you know, the doctors say it kills brain cells. Well, if you would have met, his name was Robert, that's his first name, I won't give you last name. If you would have met Robert, you're like, yeah, there's a lot of brain cells dead. The guy just was just the connectors weren't there anymore. But he found a track on the gutter someplace, picked it up, read it, received Jesus Christ, prayed the prayer, received Jesus Christ into his life, got himself a Bible. And I think he was homeless at that time. Got himself a Bible and started letting the Word of God be engrafted on the inside. It is able to save your soul. He ended up just a mighty man of God, preaching the gospel. And actually, he actually lived at Brother Hagin's house for a while there too. You talk about, well, that's pretty cool. Okay, so all I'm saying is this scripture is incredible. James chapter 1. If you receive the Word of God, you let it get inside of you, it is able to save your soul. It will restore. And maybe you need your mind restored. Maybe you need your marriage restored. Maybe you need your life restored. Guess what God's in the business of? He's the restoration company, guys. He restores. Now, first, he restores your spirit. It becomes made alive and brand new and stuff. But then he restores. He just doesn't say, oh, I'm so glad you just got your spirit restored. Your tough brain. Okay, you're stuck here. No, he restores every part of you. He can restore your mind. It's wonderful. You should be going to your husband or your wife. Golly, gee whiz. Okay. Now, okay, today what I want to talk about is toxins. Toxins, what do you think when I say the word toxins? Poisons, okay, so I'm going to use my big word, toxins. Toxins are harmful, all right? You know, you ever read the back of bleach, the bottle of bleach, this is a poison, don't leave it for your kids to guzzle down, right? Well, toxins are harmful, and we're going to talk about toxins that are harmful to your, yep. That's what we're going to talk about, toxins that are harmful to your mind. And you have to stop letting them in your mind. Because toxins are harmful for your mind, all right? Turn over to Psalm, or they just put this up because this is the Message Bible. Can you put up, what's it, Psalm 42, verse 5? Psalm 42, verse 5 is David. Anybody know about David? Mighty man of God. You know, he wrote a whole bunch of the Psalms. He did great and mighty things. He just lived life, and life was life. Okay, so this is King David, and he's writing this, and this is the Message Bible. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? He's talking to himself. Why are you crying the blues? Doesn't it sound like a country song? Oh, why am I down in the dumps? Okay. All right. Now, when I read this, you know what I get out of this? It sounds like, just seems like he might be a little depressed. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Okay, now I'm not saying that David was a depressed person, but I'm reading this and I'm going, it seems like he had a little depression going on. Just sort of seems like that, okay? Now, when we think, we read our Bible, we read about David, you don't normally think of him as some depressed character, do you? We think of the mighty heroes slaying dragons and Goliaths, you know, okay? That's what you think about. But listen, he was a real guy. And you know what? He had real things happen in his life. He wasn't the superhero. He was not a superhero, all right? He went through stuff like you go through stuff. Not just giants. I'm talking about thoughts. And you read this and you think depression, okay? So he went through stuff like us. Now, let me say this before we go any further talking about toxins and what they can do to us. Let me say this here. We have people in our church who have problems with their mind. Okay? You might even have them in your family. Okay? The terminology today is they have mental illness. All right? There's people in this congregation that have mental illness. That does not make them one less of a person. Okay? And sometimes people make them feel like that. Well, you must be bad. You're dealing with all these mental problems. Shame, shame. Shame, shame. Okay? Listen, there's people in our congregation that got physical problems going on in their bodies, right? So you got physical problems going on in your body, and you could have mental problems going on. Neither one of them do we condemn, right? All right. And the reason why I say that, because we're going to talk about your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. And some people are going to, we're not pointing fingers. We're not here to do that. And listen, God is so interested in your body being well, and he's also very interested in your mental health. God is very interested in your mental health. That's why he gives these scriptures, okay? So, all right, did I say enough about that? Okay, moving right along. Praise God. You know, let me just say this. I have some dear friends, and they've struggled with some mental illness, and they've gone to the doctors, okay? Life just was overwhelming, and they went to the doctors, and the doctors put them on some medication. And you know what? That's okay when you ask the Lord to help you with that. That's okay. Because I don't care what color pill you pop, okay? You still have to walk with the Word of God. Whether you take them or you don't, okay? Now, I'm not going to walk up to you and say, hey, you better stop taking all your pills, all right? And then you go to the doctor and say, oh, no, I'm not taking any more pills because Pastor D said that. No, I didn't. You know, for whatever reasons that are going on in your life, if you're dealing with depression or whatever label you want to, and if you are under doctor's care, and he says, I'd like to put you on this, and you stay on it, and then you communicate to the doctor. And actually, you will need a person that you're accountable to that helps you when you can't figure out you're not doing so good. But you communicate to the doctor. So I've been on these pills. I actually had a really dear friend that was suffering from just terrible depression, and it started after she had her baby, and it just got totally out of control. She went to this physician, great doctor, a lady, and they put her on some medication. And she kept communicating with the doctor. And within a year and a half, through that time, the doctor said, you know what? You're doing so much better. We're going to cut back some of that. Then she'd come back about 3 months later. The doctor said, hey, you're doing so much better. We're going to cut you back on that. We're not going to turn off the switch overnight, but we're going to, what would we call that? Wean you off of that? She is delightful. She's always been delightful regardless, but she is doing fine. She's off of that. And you know what she could say? You know, when you do that, you can say to the doctor when he finally takes you off of everything and he's going, man, you are just doing so good. I don't understand. You could say, that's because I learned how to take control of my brain. That's because I learned how to take control of my mind. Okay? So whether you are on a medication or not, you still have to learn how to take control of your mind and what the thoughts, because they can be toxic. Okay, that's all right. All righty, so let's do this. How many of you have ever heard of Dr. Caroline Leaf? Write that down on your paper, Dr. Caroline Leaf, okay? And I'd love you to Google and YouTube her. I think she's got that cute accent. I think she's from New Zealand. Yeah, New Zealand. Oh, so I love that accent, okay? Plus, she's absolutely stunning. She is a neuroscientist. She studies the brain. First, let me say that. She's a sister in Christ. She has received Jesus Christ to be Lord and her Savior. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. She's applying the Word in her life. And she's brilliant. She's a neuroscientist. And she spent many years studying how your brain and thoughts and how they junk you up, okay? She's got quite a few books out there. She's got CDs. Go watch her. She's amazing. But this is what she said. There are over 4 million adults in America who suffer with depression. And over $42 billion are spent on trying to fix it. That's a lot of money. Trying to fix it, right? Okay. She said this. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. And if you ain't average, you might have more. 30,000 thoughts are zing, 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 zing going through your head in one day. 30,000 thoughts go through your head in a day, okay? And she said this, through uncontrolled thoughts, thought life, we create conditions for illness. Guys, this is serious. Our brains are vital. So again, we create conditions for illness and sickness. She said this, research show that fear, just fear, being in fear, all alone, just fear alone, triggers more than 1,400 physical and chemical responses. Okay, you get into fear, it's going, static's going all over the place, all right? That's what it's saying. And it activates over 30 different hormones. When you're in fear, it activates, it's like the switch goes on for 30 different hormones. And they're not the good hormones that you want going off. Okay? All because of an uncontrolled thought life. Okay? So our minds are vital, right? Yes, they are. Now, so interesting. So that's what happens with thoughts, all these thoughts that go through us in a day, 30,000 or more. And yet, you know, we live in a society right now that is all about visual. It's all about visuals, right? Okay, we've got TV, commercials, every kind of social media, and I don't even know what half of them do. You know, Facebook, Twitter, and I don't know the rest. I don't even know what they are, okay? And they're all visuals, right? They're all visuals all day long. We've got so much visuals going on, things that we see all day long. And you know what that does with your brain? It's like your brain on Red Bull times five. Red Bull's an energy drink, or coffee, okay? That's your brain all day long because of the society that we live in. And I know, I always crack up when the kids go to camp. Guess what they have to fork up? Their cell phones. You thought I asked them to cut their heart out. You know, you're going to camp good, and they put them in a big bag and can get them when the last day, something like that, right? Okay, so, but that's a visual, that's a stimulant, and they're like, wah! Okay, we live in a society, all right, that is just all about what we see and what we're watching, all righty? Now, therefore, we need to figure out how to keep this mind fit. We need to have our mind fit, or you're going to be an uncontrolled basket case. You'll be calling me up on the phone. Okay, which I love you. That's okay. All right. So how do we keep our mind fit? How can you have a fit mind? All right. And if you do not have a fit mind, you're going to be out of control and burnt out and all sorts of horrible things. So we need to have, I agree, a fit mind. So I'm going to talk about toxins that try to get into your mind. So we said toxins are not good, right? So we're going to talk about toxins. We're just going to give you four of them that try to get, and there's a whole lot more. I'm just going to pick four. Number one, do you see that on your page? Toxins. Number one is unforgiveness, okay? unforgiveness, all righty? Now, what? Sure, Dee, you need some coffee. By the way. So I'm trying to get my body fit, and I'm making some changes in my life. So I decided yesterday I was going to go off coffee. Oh, my gosh. So today I just had one small cup. So I could talk better, but it's not working. All right. So praise the Lord. All right. Dealing with toxins that try to get in your mind. Here's one that tries to get into your mind that we don't want to. It's called unforgiveness. In Hebrews, turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 12:15. This is Hebrews 12:15. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause you trouble, right? See the word trouble you, and therefore many be defiled. So, you know that old saying, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head. But you surely can stop them building a nest in your head, on your head, okay? That's what Paul's saying in this scripture. You have to take responsibility of your thoughts, okay? What you let in, inside, okay? That's the first part. You have to take authority, what you have to allow, things inside your brain, okay? Now, he's saying here that thoughts, you could let thoughts have a potential to offend you. Anybody ever been offended in life? Okay. You can, and listen, if you let a thought cause to offend you, you will have deep, bitter roots, and then you're going to be in unforgiveness. It's just like down the slippery slide. Okay? So you can have some thoughts, but people say, if you allow them, they will cause bitterness and unforgiveness. Okay. Write this down if I didn't write it down for you. I can't remember. Unforgiveness is a poison. I think I wrote that down for you. Unforgiveness is a poison, guys. It's a poison to your mind. It's a poison to your thoughts. It's a poison to your emotions. It's a poison, okay? Now, Olivia, you still here? Where'd she go? Can I have your bottle of water? Who has a bottle of water? All right, I have a cup of water. Here we go. Okay. You know, visuals help. So I don't see. Also because I probably would spill this if I keep doing it. That's okay. I'm not going to drink it. This is a bottle of water. And if I gave everybody a bottle of water, reach under your seats, you pull out a bottle of water. And I say, hey, guys, let's drink it up. Drink it up. Okay? You're like, oh, Pastor D, you're so sweet. Thank you. And then I would say, oh, but I just want to tell you there's a little bit of poison in here. So bottoms up. Okay? Now, how many of you would be okay with that? No! Pastor D, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll do what I do. So turn your brain on, okay? Okay, so listen. Okay, you're not going to do that. Let me tell you something. Several years ago, I was watching one of those investigation shows, you know, where they're trying to solve things. I just kind of like them. And I was watching this, and it was about a woman who had been married 3 times. And her first husband died. Oh, well. So she moves to another state. She gets married again. And the second husband dies. Uh-oh. So she moves to another state. She gets married again. And the third husband's really sick. Okay? And he goes to the hospital, and they cannot figure out what's going on with him. But in the hospital, he gets miraculously better. Then he goes home, and he gets really sick again. So he goes back to the hospital again. You know what they found out? She was poisoning him with antifreeze. Okay? And his drinks. You saw that show. Okay? And you can't taste it. I thought of doing it to some critters, but I'm not. I don't think that. Okay. All right. So, how many of you in your right mind would say, I'm going to poison my mind every day, just every day, just a little bit of poison. I'm going to put some poison in my mind. I'm going to be in unforgiveness every day. Because if you're in unforgiveness, look, 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 you are poisoning your mind. All right, right? Boy, it's sobering. Okay, so if I told you to drink the poison, would you do it? No, we live in church, Pastor D. We're never coming back here, okay? Unforgiveness is a poison, right? Unforgiveness is a poison. Let me read you some definitions for unforgiveness, okay? By the way, every time I type unforgiveness, the red comes up because somehow the dictionary thinks that's not a word. It's like, what? It's a word. Okay, unforgiveness, definition. There's a couple of them. Having or holding a grudge against someone. Someone who's hurt you. Someone who you got slandered you and you're offended with. Okay? So holding a grudge against someone. Another definition. Not having compassion or mercy and mercy to forgive. All right. Now this is the thing about unforgiveness. Put your seatbelts on. Unforgiveness usually causes you to think and do evil things. All right? Against the person that you're offended with. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to run out and slash their tires. Because we're born again. Right? We don't do that. Okay, but how about this? When you have unforgiveness for somebody, you want to get even with them. I'm not going to slash their tires, but this is what we do. Guilty. Okay? I'm going to talk about you to everybody. And you start getting even. That's, you know, that's that, what do we call that? I'll think of it later. It's revenge. It's bad. Let's just leave it that, okay? So I am an unforgiveness to you, so I'm going to talk to you when I hang out and tell you what they did me dirty and la, 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 all right? Unforgiveness is poison. Everybody say that. Unforgiveness is poisonous. And then we get bitter. Okay, now, the crazy thing about unforgiveness is you're hurting yourself. You are hurting yourself. It's poison to your brain. Okay, and it also, what will happen is, I can't believe Dolores did that to me. I'm so offended with her. Ah! Okay, so then I go out to lunch with Stacy, and I'm just, all I talk about is what Dolores did to me. Okay, after a while, it's going to hurt me because Stacy's smarter than a fifth grader. And she's like, I am really tired of hearing this Pastor D talking about Dolores all the time. And she's going to back away from the friendship because that pulls you down listening to all this junk, right? It pulls you down. Okay, so unforgiveness. And that's when he said defiles many. It hurts you and it's also going to hurt you more with your friendships. People, I don't want to be with you if that's all you're going to do is talk about that person. All right? Matter of fact, I was doing that one time. Didn't know I was doing that. Yep. I was doing that about a particular person. They're not here. Okay, so I can lift my head up. And my friend called me on the carpet. She said, you have unforgiveness in your heart. I do not. You know what they did to me? She goes, and I said, you can be dumb to unforgiveness. All right. So that's that scripture in Psalms that says, search my heart, O Lord, if there's be any sin in my life. Bing! Show it to me. And I tell you what, I cried. I was ashamed. And I quickly repented and said, Lord, forgive me for having unforgiveness towards this person. And I release them and I bless them. Okay. So unforgiveness. So unforgiveness is a toxin and you should not let it in your brain, right? So how do you have, how do you have forgiveness? How do you forgive people? How do you forgive people? Okay. So here's, how do you get rid of it? Jesus said in Luke's gospel in the chat, it's just read the first six verses. I'm not going to pop them up here. Luke chapter 17. He said unforgiveness. Okay, let me back up. Jesus is talking about, you know, how many times you forgive somebody. And then the disciples are like, oh my gosh, give us faith. 70 times 70. Ah! And then Jesus does this teaching. Okay. And he says, forgiveness is like a sycamine tree. The New King James calls it a mulberry tree, but really it's a sycamine tree. And you're going, unforgiveness is like a sycamine tree? What do you mean, an oak tree? A sycamine tree? Listen, if Jesus tells you it's like something, there's a reason. Okay, so the reason why he said unforgiveness is like a sycamine tree is in Jesus' day, they grew all over the place. It's a very dry country, and they just thrived, and they had big, tree trunks, okay? Now, the very interesting thing about a sycamine tree is, you know what they used it for, the wood for? Crazy, ready? To build caskets, coffins. That Jesus, I'm telling you what, he just tickles me sometimes when he says stuff like that. Unforgiveness is like a sycamine tree. So if you want to be in unforgiveness, if you want to hold unforgiveness, if you want to bury yourself because of unforgiveness, that's exactly what you're going to do. Your spirit, your mind, you're going to bury it in a casket. That's what he was saying. Okay, now he's not talking about a real coffin, guys. He said spiritually, when you're in unforgiveness, you're actually putting yourself in a coffin. That's not good, right? That's not good. Okay, Pastor D, that was so fun. Here we go. So how do you let go of forgiveness? He tells you in a couple verses later, he says, how do you let go of it? You forgive. How do you let go of it? You forgive. How do you let go of it? You forgive. Come on, Jesus. How do you let go of it? Forgive. And you do it by faith. And you do it by faith. How many of you know there are some days I really just don't feel like forgiving you? There are no feelings in me to forgive you. Right? You ever have that happen? You didn't get any warm fuzzies. Oh, I feel like forgiving. No. What do? I go like this. Father God, you said to forgive. And I don't want poison in my body. I don't want poison in my mind. So I decide right now I forgive so-and-so. And I honor you and your word. And I let it go. And I say, I forgive them. In Jesus' name, amen. It's pretty simple, guys. Now, the next time I see Dolores and I go, no, Father God, I forgave her. I'm doing it by faith. And then I pray blessings and I love them. Okay. So unforgiveness is a toxin. It's a poison. Let's do number two. You ready? Hallelujah. I want those toxins out of my brain. Anybody else want their brain cleaned out? Okay, so we're not going to be in unforgiveness. Number two, toxin that you should get out of your brain, don't allow in your brain, is comparison. And I said comparison is a trap. And the reason why, if you fall into the trap of comparison, what will happen is you will always feel like you are not good enough. You will always feel like if you're comparing yourself, you will always feel like you're not good enough. So that is a toxin in your brain, okay? Now, who do we compare ourselves with? Call one out. You guys don't compare yourselves with people? All right. Women, we go look at other women and go, oh my gosh, she's got legs a mile long. She has a waist like this. We compare ourselves with others, right? Sometimes you'll say, oh, you compare our marriages with somebody else. We compare our kids with somebody else, okay? So we compare ourselves and it's not good, all right? Now, The reason why comparison, comparing yourself with someone else is not good is because you lose your joy. I am never going to have 6-foot long legs, guys. And I don't think I'm going to have an 18-inch waist. I'll be dead. All right? So if I'm just comparing myself, I just lose my joy. All right? So you're going to lose your joy. But listen, God has uniquely made you. You are His masterpiece. And as we say, thank God, only one of them. Right? God made you uniquely. You're His masterpiece. So you should not be comparing this masterpiece with that masterpiece. All right? We're not to do that. Now, I tell you all the time, I said this before, throughout the week, I will go to other churches online. I watch other church services. I listen to other men of God, men and women of God, mostly men of God, come to think of it. I watch their services, and I love when they record from the moment the worship starts till the ending prayer. I love it. I go and watch them. And I have about 3, sometimes 4. I may not do it everywhere. But just imagine I'm hitting this one. I actually like to watch Willie George. It's Church on the Move in Tulsa. That's because I started out in his ministry 40 years ago. Oh, Jesus. Okay. So I'll go online, and he does this whole worship. So if you ever need a lineup, worship team, just go fill his lineup there. And his messages are great, and they build me up. But how about if I start comparing myself to Willie George and the Church on the Move, and I'm going to go, oh my gosh, you should hear their worship. You should listen to this guy can just preach up a storm. If I start comparing myself, I'm going to go, loser, I quit. I would. Okay? But listen, so you have to know, I am uniquely made. Matter of fact, this church is unique to any other church. We have a unique calling that no other church has, so I don't have to compare myself to Church on the Move. All right? And that's why we don't compare, because you will never feel good enough if you're comparing. All right? All right, what are we on to? Number three. Oh, no, let's give you a scripture. We should always do that. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 10:12. This is good. Now, do we have any sarcastic people in this? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Paul is a great man of God. Great man of God. But he gets a little sarcastic here. So all you sarcastic people, you're like, ah, you can do. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:12. This is Paul writing, right? And he says, oh, don't worry. I wouldn't dare say that I'm as wonderful as all these other men who tell how important they are. Sarcasm, sarcasm, sarcasm. But they're only comparing themselves with each other and measuring themselves as a standard and measurement of measurement. And you know what he says? How ignorant! I love Paul sometimes like that. So I'm going to say it in nicer words. Nicer words is saying, hey guys, you know what? Don't go comparing yourself with anybody else. That's the nice way of saying it. Said a bunch of ignorance, all right? So if you like to say to your husband, how come you're not like John? Or you say to your kids, how come you don't play sports like so-and-so's kids? If, you know, let me tell you, you don't go home with John. You go home with your own husband. And you may find out John's not so hot, okay? So... All right. It's not a smart thing to compare yourself with others, period. It's a toxin. It's a poison. And you will never feel good enough. You will never think the people in your life, like if you're always comparing your husband to somebody else or your wife to somebody, they'll never be good enough. So it's not a good place. All right. Number three. We're going to do this. Number three, toxin you should not put in your brain. First one was what? Unforgiveness. Second one was? Third one. Here we go. Anger. Whoa! Anger. Okay. Anger is a toxin to your brain. It is poison to your brain, your mind. Listen to James. James 4:1. What causes fights? Sounds like a little anger going on there. What causes quarrels? Sounds like some anger going on there. Okay. He's asking questions. Okay. Read that like a question. Question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Yes, is the answer. You desire, but do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God, or you don't ask with the right heart. That's really what it means. So here's the deal. You can't live your life full of anger. You cannot live your life with that toxin. Okay? That's simply what he's saying. Now, everybody, look up at me for a minute. I want to talk to the men. Men, I want to tell you, no wife likes to go home after work or wait for you to get home and wonder, is my husband going to be this angry, yelling person when he walks to the door and the rest of the evening? No wife likes to live like that. No kid likes to come home to wondering, is my dad, just because I walk through the living room to the dining room, going to go ballistic and start yelling at everybody? Am I? No kid likes that. So guys, if you have anger problems, you need to get some help. Real easy. You just need to say, I have an anger problem, all right, and I need some help. All righty. So now, ladies, if you're here and you're saying, yes, Pastor D, you just go after those men, yeah. And ladies, you have the same problem where you have a terrible anger problem. Boy, there was one couple we counseled. She would beat on her husband. I got a phone call. She was back in the old days with telephones, those big heavy things. She's beating on him. She had an anger problem. Bad. Okay. So if you have an anger problem, you need to ask for some help. You need to go get some help. Okay. Now it's okay to be a passionate person. You should have passions in your life. And if you're passionate about going to the race cars or watching football and you get up there and you're reasonably passionate, that's okay. Okay? But if you have received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of life, and he has put new life in you, and you have violent anger after Jesus has come into your life, you need to ask for some help. You need to go seek out some counsel. You need to have somebody that you're accountable to. Okay? Because you aren't doing it good. Alrighty. Now let me tell you about the toxin of anger, in your mind. Let's just say you're watching football and it's your favorite team and they are just playing pitiful. They are just dropping the ball, running the wrong directions, just terrible. And you find yourself standing up the whole time in front of the TV, just yelling, what are you idiots? They pay you $50 million a year. Can't you catch the ball? Are you kidding me? And you're going like this for the whole game. And pretty soon you realize your temperature is rising. That's a little over the passionate. Okay. Now, the crazy thing that happens is physically, that does things to your body. Toxins actually are physically released in your body, and they're not good ones, okay? So calm down on your football games. Say, I'm taking a bathroom break, all right? But seriously, if you've got anger that's uncontrolled, and people are actually afraid when you get around them, it's time to say, I need some help. And listen, I need help in my life. I'm not ashamed to say there are areas in my life. And this is one of those, that's your area. You go, I need some help in my life. You need to get, and I'll tell you places to go. You can go counseling or whatever, but you need to get some help. Alrighty. Okay, so, hallelujah. I want to say anger is a toxin. Let's do the last one. You ready? Last one. Last toxin you should not have in your mind, you need to get out of your brain, is worry. Worry, 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 worry. Jesus had a lot to say about worry, all right? You want to turn over to Matthew 6, verse 7. Matthew 6, verse 7, okay? Jesus said, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life or a cubic foot? Can by worrying, can you change your life? Okay? So he's really saying, hey, worry just isn't good. Worry is not good. Any kind of worrying is not good. Now, question. Has worrying ever made you better? No, it makes you worse. You're a worser person because all you do is worry. You ever see a person's face that's always in the worrying? I know a couple people, and they always have that face. They're worrying, worrying, worry, worry, okay? Listen, all of us can worry. You can roll out of bed this morning and go, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to go to church this morning because, you know, the roads might be icy. Yeah, I guess a bunch of them believe that. Okay? Or, I don't know if I'm going to go out to the mall today because, you know, it's flu season. I could catch a germ. All right? All right? You can worry about all sorts of things, right? Everybody can worry about a whole bunch of things. But listen, worry is tied to fear. Worry is tied to fear. They always go together. You think not, but I'm going to tell you they do. Worry is tied to fear. Okay? So, how many of you people know some world-class worriers? Yeah. Okay. Now, we're not here to make fun of them, but listen, what I really want to say is you don't have to live full of worry, and you don't have to live full of fear. God has a way that you can ask him to help you out of it. That's not, matter of fact, he didn't plan your life to be full of fear and worry. That's not the road of God. All right. So there's certain things you can do. Now, open up to Psalm 91. How about if you are a person that you are just the class A worry wart? You just worry about everything. And how about if I were to tell you that this would calm your mind? This would calm your soul, okay? And how about if I said, hey, if you worry all the time, if you have fear all the time, if you would read this every day for 1 month, well, Pastor D, there's more than 4 verses. Come on, folks. How many verses in Psalm 91? 60. Okay. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. I can do it. All right. So how about if I tell you, because you worry all the time, if you would read this every day, and for starters, would you just read it at night before you go to bed? Because you might sleep well. But really, if you'd read it early in the morning and before you go to bed, every day for a whole month, I will tell you, it will calm your mind. It will calm you. All right. So it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Ooh, I feel better already. All right. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you under the feathers, his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. So when I am tempted to get into worrying about my kids, worrying about my finances, worrying about my jobs, I just see myself under the wings of God, and I'm going to trust in him, God Almighty, to take care of me. Isn't that wonderful? See yourself under those big wings, okay? So there's a whole bunch of other things. I just want to say, read Psalm 91. Read Psalm 91 every day for a whole month. And then say, Pastor D, I'm doing good. Okay? All righty. Now, why do people worry? Why do people worry and get into fear? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't want to die. What? Pastor D, all I'm doing is worrying and fear. No, 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 no. Peel back the layers. The real reason is you don't want to die. You don't want to have bad things happen. So if a bad thing happens to my kids, then they're going to die. All right? You're worrying about your health, okay? I have to go to the doctors. So I'm worrying about the doctors. I'm going to the doctors. And then I get into fear. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And you're worrying, you get a bad report, and then you're going to die. So the real reason for worry and fear is you're afraid of death. But the day you received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Jesus did something. Well, Jesus did something on the cross. Let's do that. He said he took care of the death thing and the fear of death. He said he took care of the sting of death. And by the way, it's in, there's several scriptures about heaven, and you are not going to be in any pain in heaven. There's no tears and no pains in heaven. So if by chance I would die, I'm going to die, I'd be going, hallelujah. I'm not going to fear it because heaven's tremendously greater than this earth. Besides, I'm with my Lord and Savior, all right? So what if you could get through your brain not to fear death? Then you'd stop worrying that something bad's going to happen. My kids are leaving the football game and, you know, it's raining cats and dogs and they're going to get in a car accident and die. How about if you realize, you know, just, it's okay. It's okay. Don't get into worry. Don't get into fear. Jesus took care of death. It's just so awesome. All right. Turn over to Philippians. Let's move on to a happier note here. Okay. You're all like ah, Pastor D. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 6. Just everybody go, ha, 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 for a second. Okay. All right. I love this scripture. Ready? Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8. Let's just do Philippians 4, 6. Okay. Paul's talking and says, D-O-N apostrophe T. Don't worry about anything. Does your Bible say that? Don't worry about anything. So what should you worry about? Nada, nothing, zilch, zero. Because he says, don't worry about anything, right? Does yours say that? Don't worry about anything? Okay, and then he works this word instead. Instead. All right? Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard. Oh, that's that guard, protect. Woo. All right. His peace will guard and protect your heart, your mind, right? As you live in Christ Jesus. So this is what God's saying. Hey, if you want to have some peace in your life, if you want to have some peace in your life that will protect your heart and your mind, you have to stop worrying. If you want to have some peace in your life, you have to stop worrying, okay? So how do you stop worrying? Instead, pray. All right? So listen, I have great opportunities to worry about a whole lot of things. Instead, I'm going to stop and pray. Is that what yours adds up to? Right? I'm going to stop and pray. I'm going to stop and pray about everything, everything, okay? And God says, listen, so this is what I'm about. Okay, God, you know, I kind of worry a lot about my kids. Instead, God, I'm going to pray and I'm going to say they're yours. And I thank you, you watch over them and protect them. I thank you, no evil shall befall them, no plagues come nigh their dwelling. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have opportunities to worry about my kids, but instead, I'm going to pray about it. Okay, then you know what happens? God says, "It when you do the pray part, he says, I'm going to put my peace all over you. When you do that part, when you pray, he says, I'm going to put my peace all over you. I think God's got a lot of peace going, don't you think? I think he's pretty outrageous on peace. All right, so he's going to surround you with peace. He's going to, and then you're going to turn off the light, ladies, and go to bed at night and don't worry about your kids because you told the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm just concerned about this, this, and this, but you said you would do this, this, and this. I'm going to turn the light off and I'm going to bed in peace. I'm going to sleep peacefully through the night. Amen. All righty. So now what happens in real life if you're one of those that are afraid to get on airplanes? Raise your hand. Anybody afraid to get on airplanes? Anybody afraid to go over bridges? You know, the ones with all that water that seems like you're on the over the bridge for 10 hours and it's just like water and it's real like that. Anybody? What if your job depends on you going over that bridge? What are you going to do? I'm going to pray instead of worry. Okay, I was going to say something. I want to say. Okay, so I'm going to pray instead of worry. God, help me do this. God, I just thank you that you're peace and my mind is focused on you and I'm just looking straight ahead. I'm not looking down. And I thank you for your peace that surrounds me. And next thing you know, you're on the other side of the bridge. Okay, so he's telling you have to guard your mind. You have to protect it. And if you pray, you will overcome. Praise the Lord. All right, so I didn't tell you anything this week, but I'm going to tell you next week what we do, again, with these toxins, okay? What we do daily basis. We're going to talk about scriptures that we do with our brain daily next week. But right now, I want to give you an assignment, okay? It's on the bottom of your page. Look at it. Assignment / homework / be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, or you'll be big, fat, butt Christians. That's why you have assignments. Okay? Otherwise, it's in one ear, out one ear. Okay? And then you're going to call me up. Pastor, yeah. I was like, oh, I taught on this for 4 weeks. All right? So I give you assignments, and I want you just to think about them for a whole week. Just look over it. Look over it. All right? The assignment. Okay? Ready? I want you to go home and to decide what toxins do I have that are in my mind? Everybody's got some. Okay, what toxins, what thoughts are just in my mind, okay? Okay, identify them. Write down, you know, go through the week. So yesterday, I had a toxin in my brain. gosh. I was like, Lord, you know, if I'm preparing for it, you know I'm going to have to practice it. So I finished typing up my message, and I'm not Jack Cashman, who types a little 3x5 card and preaches for an hour. I was like, oh, God, how do you do that? So I typed these things out. So I went down in the morning, probably about 11 o'clock, to go down to the office, and there's carpet on the office. And I'm in my PJs, you know, and all of a sudden I hear squish, squish, squish on the carpet. And I went ballistic. Oh, my gosh, this is the worst week ever. Don't you know I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Texas? Oh, my gosh. And the last time we had to replace drywall. Oh, oh. Okay, I wasn't quite as dramatic, but those were every word out of my mouth. And I've got actually worrying and fear, because the last time this happened, we had to tear out the whole wall, and it cost me this amount. I had a toxin, guys, a toxin attack going on. And I started laughing. I'm going, oh, this is my message. Got to do something better. Okay. So I did the right thing. I went upstairs. I checked all my sinks to make sure nothing's leaking. By the way, I was down in the basement. That's where the office is. And I checked the sinks. I checked the washing machine because I've had that one and replaced all this, you know. So I've had all these previous things going on. So nothing. And then I go, okay, what is this? So I went back down, squish, squish, squish. And I looked on the floor. It's coming from the room that adjoins the office is a storage area. Praise ye the Lord. I look up, I pull this bin out, the water falls down me. God, it was so cold. And you know, so I calmed down, I made a few phone calls. It was a pipe that had come out. It's a drainage pipe, not a poo-poo pipe, you know, one of those. I was so grossed out. Oh my God, all over me. And then I'm like, okay, this smells so bad. It's the drainage from the washing machine goes out. Okay. So I come down. Guys, that would have been on the spot my homework. Identify a toxin. I was starting to sweat. I was going to get into fear and how much money this was going to cost me and how much stuff like that. So your job, okay, that was my funny story. Your job is to through the week, sit down and identify any toxins that are controlling your brain, making your brain out of control, and then deal with it. How do you deal with it? Don't worry and pray. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for everyone in this room. I thank you, Father, that you have helped us with this message to know that toxins are not good in our mind. And then you have given us the ability to replace those toxins with your word so that we might live this blessed, abundant, overflowing life and be lights for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you have fun? I sure did. All righty. Stand up. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed going in. We're blessed going out. Everything I set my hands to, I prosper in. And watch out, devil, we're on the loose. Okay.